Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're getting you ready for the Fantasy Football Weekend live here on FNTSY. We got former big league pitcher Brad Ziegler in the house. He's going to help you win your fantasy football league and tell you a little bit about how his teams are doing and some players you can snag off the waiver wire. Fantasy Sports Today on this Friday starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Afternoon and happy Friday to you. It is the end of the week. It is getting ready for week three of the NFL and, of course, college football underway here in week four. Glad to have you aboard for the next 2 hours. Craig Mish along with Brad Ziegler in this first hour of the show. Sean Guastamacchia is producing the program. And as always on Fridays, if you'd like to give us a call, the phone number is 844-843-6879. We're going to cover basically every possible fantasy football topic and angle with Brad, who is, of course, doing podcasts with The Athletic, talking a lot of fantasy football all throughout the week. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Brad Ziegler. We may actually hit on some baseball as well toward the end of our next segment. But, Brad, thank you once again for being part of the show, and hope you enjoyed that game last night. Man, a really good crowd in Jacksonville at the very least last night, I thought. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yeah, it was entertaining. It was exactly kind of like I thought it would be, where a defensive struggle. If you take away that muff punt in the first half, that was a 10-7 game or something. I don't know. It wasn't that exciting of a game to me, and that's what I expected. I had Derrick Henry way down in my rankings. He basically salvaged his night with a 1 yard touchdown. I had Fournette way down in my rankings, and he busted out that 71-yard run at the end, or 69-yard run at the end of the game. And if you take those plays out, I know you can't extrapolate plays all the time, but those two guys were completely controlled the whole night. And then you get to see a battle of second level quarterbacks and QB2s at best, and it's just not that exciting of a game. But that's kind of what you expect when you have two good defenses going at each other.
Yeah, that was like a Diamondbacks Padres game, Brad, thinking back to you playing with Arizona. Nah, I'm just kidding. But okay, so we'll talk about that game a little bit, of course, later on in the show. Jamie Eisenberg will be with us, and we'll go player for player on that thing and talk about Minshew and all of that. But since we haven't had Brad all week here on the show, we thought that we'd get some general overview here on the program. And as someone who plays in the amount of leagues that you do, including the leagues that you or I are in, and for full transparency, Brad and I are in two different leagues together. One, which, congratulations to you. You beat me last week. I think you were like the high point scorer or close to it. So well done.
Second,
by you.
Yeah.
You crushed me. I had a good week, but you crushed me. I mean, what can I say? So you beat me last week, last year twice also. So I'm not off to a good start against you for sure. Guillotine League, you and I are in. I think we both feel good about our teams at this point. There were 16 teams starting. And like the Big Brother house, there have been two people kicked out of the house to start. But what about for you, like your season? Have you had any big injuries? Did you have any of these quarterbacks? And I know you're playing in, forget the best ball, because I know at this point you can't do anything about it. But any of the season-long leagues you're playing where you got some big injuries and issues?
Well, the Guillotine League is the one I've actually dealt with the most injury stuff. I lost Tyreek Hill week one, and I lost Roethlisberger in that one. So I've had to spend my money on quarterbacks because it's a super flex league. And so I had to go and get Mason Rudolph and Teddy Bridgewater this week, even though I'm not a huge Bridgewater fan. Just the opportunity there for a few weeks to get me through a bye week situation is at least a possibility. I mean, it sounds like he could be splitting some time with Taysom Hill at quarterback two, and kind of a QB by committee. So, but I like Rudolph. Mariota's my other quarterback in there. Obviously, I went cheap at quarterback because, you know, that draft was just a lot crazier than anything I've ever seen in an auction. So, I'm going heavy at receiver, and light at running back outside of Saquon. So, hopefully I'll be able to just stay afloat until I get Tyreek back at least. And maybe Mason Rudolph will end up being a lot better. I grabbed OJ Howard too at tight end. And you know, obviously he's been extremely disappointing, the first couple weeks. But I'm going to go ahead and start him this week. I think over Jason Witten, even though the Cowboys have a great matchup against the Dolphins. I think that's going to be the Zeke Elliott show, and there's not going to be a whole lot of passing in that game because they're just going to be winning the whole game.
Can you imagine before the season thinking that Jason Witten would be a tight end one at the end of the year? It's just from the booth to the field, this guy is just basically – listen, if all he does is catch touchdowns all year and his stat line at the end of the year, Brad, is, you know, let's say 32 catches – 8 touchdowns, 400 yards. He's almost a tight end one based on the way fantasy is. It's crazy.
And you know, there's been some disappointments at tight end, but also some explosions. And you know, Mark Andrews is blowing everybody out of the water right now. But I want to be cautious on the Ravens in general. Even Lamar Jackson, even though I like Andrews a lot, I like Jackson a lot. They've played the Cardinals and the Dolphins in their two games, and those might be the two worst defenses in football. So let's see. I don't feel like the Chiefs have a top half defense necessarily. I like their fantasy side of things because I think they will create turnovers and sacks. But as far as yards given up, fantasy points allowed, Chiefs are a middle tier defense to me. And I want to see what they do this week on the road in Kansas City in a tough environment against a good offense. Can Lamar Jackson keep them in the game? He did a good job of it last year. He had a really good chance to beat Kansas City last year if it wasn't for Mahomes pulling a rabbit out of his hat. And you know, it'll be interesting to see. I'll be at that game, and I'll be anxious to watch what they look like in person.
Cool. All right. That'll be – yeah, listen, it doesn't get any better than that with those two quarterbacks playing for sure. And that's the matchup of the week for sure. Chiefs and Ravens, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We got a quick timeout coming up here for about 2 minutes. We take a break. Then we come back, and Brad continues with me here on the show as we have the opening drive. We got four different topics we're going to hit on, some football, a little baseball, maybe a little side topics as well. And then we're going to talk about some of the projections that Brad made at the beginning of the season and see if he's willing to change any of those and talk about if there are any players on his teams that he think are ready to break out. Also, the Miami Marlins extended Don Mattingly, and Brad played for Don Mattingly 2 years in Miami. Want to get his thoughts on that as well. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Brad Ziegler. We'll be right back.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open your new account and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
The Fantasy Sports Network is hitting you from all angles with the best fantasy sports and betting analysis. You can catch the latest programming on so many platforms, there's no way you'll miss out on any of the award-winning programming we pump out every single day. You can listen through the FNTSY Radio app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Download our podcast through iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Audioboom, and you can watch select programming on the FNTSY YouTube channel. The Fantasy Sports Network, your only source for fantasy sports and wagering anytime and anywhere.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of this network can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Here's how it works. First, create a DraftKings Sportsbook account, then make a deposit and place your first bet, and DraftKings will match it up to $500. Just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. Act quickly. This offer won't be around forever. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Game time decisions.
I was in Vegas. I went to the diner where James Woods, Sharon Stone, and De Niro shows up. It was like two blocks from my place. So I had breakfast there. And like I'm sitting in the same booth. The Riviera is where they filmed it all. Almost all that movie, Casino, was filmed in a Riv. I have a picture on the same phone they beat Don Rickles up on. Yeah, good stuff. Ryan says, get Ace on In-Game Live. I'd like to, actually. The guy's a legend. I've always wanted to interview him, actually.
Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on Sumo TV, channel 719. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
Is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish back with you here at about 12 p.m. Eastern, 9:12 over on the West Coast, depending on where you live, and if you're listening on demand on Stitcher or iTunes, Google Play, wherever you're listening. We got Brad Ziegler in the house here for the first 40 or so minutes here of the show. So let's get started with our first down drive and start off with last night's game. Brad, Gardner Minshew, who I watched a ton in college and never thought that he would be an effective quarterback in the NFL. I will be completely wrong on this one. This guy is building himself a cult following. He is playing well, and he looks legit.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting if he plays. You know, he's not a fantasy starter right now unless you're in a two quarterback league or super flex. But it'll be interesting to see if he can keep the Jaguars afloat this year. What happens next year when Foles comes back healthy? Because or even later this season. I mean, is the Foles thing a year long injury, or is it just eight to 10 weeks? I can't remember. If it's partial, I know he's IR, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, because they have a lot of money tied into Foles, and Minshew is playing really well, and it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, if they can, you know, come back and how they handle the situation. Is it a Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe type situation? That I think we could see several of those. I think that's a possibility with Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh. I really like him as a quarterback, and I think there's a chance that as poor as Roethlisberger played early in the season, that he comes back, and it's very possible in Jacksonville too.
Did you just compare Gardner Minshew to Tom Brady? I'm just checking on that.
Oh, I mean, Brett, you want to go Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp? Is that better?
So with great comparisons. Brad, thanks for coming on the show. Have a great day. We'll see you
later. Yeah, you bet. Have a good one. Just the idea that, like,
he's got an established starter,
an injury takes him out, and who knows what happens. If, you know, most of the time when a backup comes in, they don't play that well. You're just trying to stay afloat, you know, hold the fort down until the starter comes back. But in this situation, like, they're winning games, you know, or at least they won last night. They played Houston tough. They were a 2-point conversion away from winning that game in Houston, and that would have been a tough, you know, a tough division game on the road. So he's keeping them in games. He's playing decent. He's not turning the ball over. Like, I think there's a lot to be said for just kind of a game manager in that situation where you've got a great defense like they do.
I see it more of a Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson situation, to be honest with you.
I'm going for the more famous example.
It's a good example as far as comparison, but the players. I was just messing with you. Okay, Marcus Mariota, our second down topic here. Yikes, big yikes. 9 sacks for Marcus Mariota. So I would ask you the question, Brad, if you're the Tennessee Titans, Are you turning the reins over to the to Ryan Tannehill at this point, or would you give him a week or two, or what do you think here with Tennessee's quarterbacking situation?
So I will say this: Week one, Mariota played great. He didn't; they were ahead by a lot. Their defense played well. So, but he threw three touchdown passes week one. Last week was not good against Indianapolis, and they got beat at home, which is a loss they can't have. But then last night, it was funny. I didn't see a lot of the first half. I was putting my kids to bed, and so I tried to just skip forward and watch plays, here and there. And he looked like a deer in the headlights, scared look every single time he dropped back in the first half. And in the second half, he actually played pretty well, and he ended up throwing for over 300 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns, and I realized some of that was good game flow because they're playing from behind, so they're passing more. But the nine sacks, and this is an offensive line that was rated by Pro Football Focus preseason to be the number four offensive line in football. They've allowed 17 sacks now in three games, four each of the first two games, nine last night. I've got to put some of that on Mariota because when he's getting sacked, he's not scrambling outside the pocket and trying to throw on run and getting caught from behind. He's moving forward in the pocket, back toward his center per se, and someone's reaching out and grabbing him from the side because there's just not room there. And I don't know how much of that is he's not getting much of a pocket. I will say this, on a couple of the sacks last night, he had almost no time to throw once he set his back foot after his drop back. He had guys all over him. The Jacksonville defensive line was just ridiculous last night. Calais Campbell was wreaking havoc all night, and they just had no answer for him. And so, I don't think he's done, but I definitely think they've got to make some adjustments. And even from a rushing standpoint, I mean, Derrick Henry is not impressing me right now. I know he's got a touchdown in all three games so far, but the one last night was just kind of a fluke. It wasn't like they marched the ball down the field. They had a couple penalties that helped him get down there, and then he got a one-yard run. But to have 17 rushes and only get 44 yards against a team that he just demolished last year, it just made me wonder, if this offensive line is doing anything at all, and it may be tough sledding for the Titans the rest of the way.
Yeah, and let's also point this out, in fairness to Tennessee, all the points you made are very fair, but in fairness back to Tennessee, I don't know how you feel about this player, but there are some people, Brad, that feel like their left tackle, Taylor Lewan, who was suspended, is the best left tackle in all of football. I don't know if he is or not, or if you feel that way, but of course he had the PED suspension. He's not eligible to return, I think, for another couple of weeks, and maybe that has affected this. Maybe that's also affected Derrick Henry. Also in defense, Brad, of Henry, is at the very least, if you drafted him, he's playing in the first eight games this season, right? Like maybe those stats at the end of the season look exactly like last year, except for all of Henry's great games were bunched up into two or three games last year at the end of the year. So maybe they're the same. It's just that they're over a 16-game period as opposed to a three-game period, which, very well could be the case. I don't know
if that's the case, he's high-end RB2 for me at that point.
Yeah, or low end for now, for sure. Okay, so that's second down here on our opening drive. Now, here's the third down. Brad is very into technology. He's very, into his phones, for sure. I know that from knowing him in the past. But here is the question. I don't know where you stand contract-wise, but the new iPhone 11 is getting ready to come out here. And I'm wondering, with somebody who loves all the whistles and all the toys and all the memorabilia and everything else, I mean, look, Brad played in the big leagues a long time. He's retired. He should get to do whatever he wants to do right now. I agree with that 100%. So are you in for the new iPhone 11?
I personally will not be, most likely. It's not, and I don't even, I'll be blatantly honest, as much as I like my phones, I still have an iPhone 8, and I like I'm very leery of the face recognition technology. I want to see, I guess I probably haven't researched it enough, the security behind it. I'm just leery. I don't have my location settings turned on anything except Google Maps on my phone. Like, I don't like people having the ability to track my whereabouts. So I'm a little different in that respect. A lot of people, I know, like, they put all kinds of filters in Snapchat, whatever, because you got your location settings turned on. And I see those screenshots on Facebook and stuff, That's just not me. I'm not, you know, I'm into social media, but I don't post a lot of pictures. I don't post a lot of personal information. And so I, right now I'm going to, my iPhone 8 is still working well. I'm probably going to just keep riding the 8 for until at least, you know, at least another year when the 12 comes out.
Wow. Sneaky Brad Ziegler there, wanting to keep everything private. Those, sidearm guys. All right. For the fourth quarter here, fourth down, former baseball player, Brad Ziegler, who faced all these teams last year. You got to give me a 30-second answer here. Cubs or Brewers for the second wild card? Let's assume the Cardinals are the division winner. Who do you got, Cubs or Brewers? We got the Nationals winning the first wild card. Cubs, Brewers for the second one. Milwaukee's one game up. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Brewers, and I like their schedule better. The Cubs have three with Pittsburgh, which the Brewers do also. But then the Cubs, the other six games the Cubs have are against the Cardinals, and that's a team who would love to eliminate the Cubs from playoff contention. Whereas the Brewers have three against the Rockies and three against the Reds, and those are both, you know, teams well below 500. Those are teams that the Brewers should take care of, and so it'll be interesting. You know, they both have three home games and six road games left, so the schedule lines up fairly well, I think, for Milwaukee to maintain that lead.
Well, we'll see. And without Yelich, it's really phenomenal to think that the Brewers could get this done, but they haven't missed a beat without him, ironically. And that's kind of where we stand. By this time next week, we'll have a lot more clarity with the final pieces of the baseball postseason puzzle. Now, will we have clarity on this weekend in the NFL and even with some college football? Coming up next, Brad Ziegler is going to talk about some players who are struggling that could be ready to break out this weekend. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish in the house until 2 o'clock. Full-time fantasy will take over at that point. We'll be back with more right here on FNTSY in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball. Become the eighth DailyRoto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become part of the growing community who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. The 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different, too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Maid Sailors is the leading cleaning service in New York City and Boston. We service homes, offices, corporate apartments, and Airbnb turnarounds. Give us a call or a text at 212-299-5170 to book now. That's 212-299-5170. Use the promo code FNTSY for 15% off your first cleaning. For more information, go to maidsailors.com. That's maidsailors.com.
Lose weight now. Go to fat100.com. Lose that unwanted belly fat today and get free information at fat100.com. Fit in the dress or pants or bathing suits you've always wanted to. Go to fat100.com. Lose 10, 20, or more pounds immediately. Go to fat100.com. For free information on how you can lose weight, go to fat100.com. Fat100.com. That's fat100.com.
Money Now 100 is not a lender, broker, or agent of any lender or financial advisor. We do not make loans or credit decisions. You must be 18 years or older and a U.S. resident to qualify. This is not an offer or solicitation to lend. I went to MoneyNow100.com and got the $5,000 I needed deposited in my account the next business day. If you need money for any reason, help is here. Go to MoneyNow100.com and get the money you need. Need to pay off credit card debt? Go to MoneyNow100.com. Need your car repaired? Need home improvement money? Visit MoneyNow100.com. If you need fast cash for any reason, go to MoneyNow100.com. Good, bad, or no credit at all. Go to MoneyNow100.com. You could get up to $5,000 as soon as the next business day. Go to MoneyNow100.com on your phone, tablet, or computer. Type in the address bar MoneyNow100.com. That's MoneyNow100.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Welcome back. Craig Mish here on Fantasy Sports Today on this Friday, September the 20th, 2019. Of course, we have Brad Ziegler here, as we always do on Fridays, talking a little fantasy football with him and mixing in a little baseball as well. We'll actually do that in this segment because he played for Don Mattingly, who has been extended, and I want to get his thoughts on that. But before we do that, let's talk about your projections. And of course, these are always very fickle. A lot of injuries certainly will change things. And I know hindsight's always 20/20. But Brad, for the rest of the season, has there been a player or two or three or maybe even more that you've changed projections for significantly the rest of the season? Because perhaps that would give people a good indication as to how you're feeling about someone the rest of the season.
Yeah, sure. So, I think the way the season has gone so far, you have to put Dalvin Cook higher than what everybody had him. Like, I've got him as my number two running back the rest of the way behind Saquon. And the volume is there. He's been explosive. He's shown he's been healthy. He's been able to maintain that role. They have, in the same vein, you can't trust Stephon Diggs at this point. He's completely touchdown dependent through 2 weeks. I wasn't very high on him to begin with. He's always hurt. I think my preseason ranking on him had him as wide receiver 18, which is a lot lower than a lot of other people had him. But at the same time, like I don't even want him as a wide receiver 3 at this point, because if he didn't catch a touchdown, the last couple weeks he's completely useless in fantasy, and he's not going to catch a touchdown every game this year. So the volume's just not there. The explosiveness isn't there in that offense. Another guy that I really thought had a good chance in Houston to be a used a lot more as a running back than he was in Cleveland was Duke Johnson. And it's shocking to me that Carlos Hyde has kind of taken the RB1 role in there, and that Duke Johnson is basically the pass catching back. But even then, he wasn't even being used as a pass catching back last week. And granted, they played Jacksonville. We've seen so far Jacksonville's defense is good, and it'll be interesting to see what adjustments they make, because they're about to play the Chargers, who week one got ran all over by Marlon Mack, and number two, week two then held the fort down a little better. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments the Texans make, because that's an explosive offense that went and put up 13 points last week, and it'll be interesting to see how they do. Another one that I am a lot lower on than I was earlier is Sony Michel, and I had him as my RB12 preseason. And the biggest thing to me, it's the efficiency has not been there for sure, but that can change game to game. But he's not being used at all in the passing game, at all. And that, to me, is a huge, like, if you have an RB1, he has to be used in the passing game to have those extra yards, have the half-point PPR, the PPR points that you get. He's getting none of those right now. It's all going to James White, Rex Burkhead, and Michelle's not being used in that role. And at that point, there's no chance he's an RB1. It doesn't matter if he starts getting touchdowns or starts being a little more efficient. He cannot be an RB1 without being used in the passing game.
All right, so let me double down on that, if that is indeed the case. Do you bump David Johnson way down, too? Because he's not being used at all in the passing game either for some reason.
Yeah, I do have Johnson bumped quite a bit down. I had him as my number 6 preseason. I was probably a little higher on him than most, or I guess a lot of people had him at number 5. I don't know.
Yeah. Kind
of just right in the mid to late first round. At this point, like, part of the issue with David Johnson is game flow, and they're – we've seen Kyler Murray. He has no problem throwing the ball downfield, and I love it. I love the offense that they're running. I love the shots he's taken. I love the fact that he goes into Baltimore against the Ravens, and he makes Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk both 100-yard receivers in the same game against a really good secondary. That shows a lot to me, but consequently, everybody thought, like, oh, their offensive line's terrible. He's going to have to get rid of the ball quick and shorter passes. That makes David Johnson relevant. That's not the case. Their offensive line has held up pretty well the first couple games. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes at all. But, yeah, I think right now you've got to move David Johnson at a minimum down to the bottom of the RB1 side. I mean, he's still the only guy there. He's getting 95% of the work there when he's been on the field healthy. And so the opportunity is there in a good offense to get more chances. But we just haven't seen a whole lot of use of the backfield right now in their games.
Who's the one player on your teams or any of your teams that you feel is getting ready to break out this week? Give me one guy.
I think it's George Kittle. I've got him in several leagues. He had 10 targets week one, only had 3 last week. But I think you can kind of throw last week out a little bit, because that was a blowout win. Matt Breida was running all over the field, had a monster game with only 12 carries, and that got Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson some opportunity that they wouldn't have gotten had that game been a close game. I don't think it's possible Jeff Wilson's a goal line back. I'm not saying he has no relevance, but I think Raheem Mostert is going to go take a big step back this week because Breida is going to be on the field more. It's not going to be a blowout game. And with that being the case, I think Kittle goes back to the high volume targets, even though he didn't catch a lot of them week one. I think he's back up as a top three or four tight end, as we roll on the rest of the season.
Okay, and real quick before we get into a little baseball, how about your you got any upsets this week? I know that there's some big lines, man. Like, it's a little different than normal weeks. You got 2 21 point spreads and some bigger ones as well. Is there an upset brewing, you think, at all in the NFL this week, like a bold take?
I'm going to take Pittsburgh over San Francisco. They're 6.5 point dogs right now. They're on the road. And I just think Mason Rudolph is better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. He showed last week even when he kept them in a game with Seattle and was throwing the ball downfield. It wasn't, a lot of backup quarterbacks come in and do the, dump it off 5, 6, 7 yards per pass. And it's just they don't take chances. And he was throwing the ball downfield and that was to Juju. And everybody is talking this week about his connection with James Washington from college and how James Washington should be rising up boards. I mean, obviously Dante Moncrief can't catch a cold in the middle of winter. So it's obvious that he's going to get shuffled out of that lineup to me. And so this could be Washington. It could be Deontay Thompson stepping up. I think it's great for him that James Conner is healthy and it looks like he's going to play this week. And with that being the case, I actually think Pittsburgh's got a really good shot to go into San Francisco and win this game. But consequently, because the game will be close, I'll go back to my last pick of George Kittle breaking, getting back to the George Kittle that we all know and love from last year.
Yeah, I mean, if Kittle goes 5 for 53 in a touchdown, you'll take that right now. I mean, that's still tight end one value.
I mean, that's a top five tight end, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, we have Brad here, and of course, Brad had an illustrious career playing Major League Baseball for a number of different teams, including the Oakland A's and the Arizona Diamondbacks and Boston Red Sox. But, some people may not remember that you finished your career playing 2 seasons, well, 1.5 seasons, 1.75, basically, with the Miami Marlins. And so, of course, you played with Don Mattingly, and the news came in last night that he's receiving a contract extension with Miami. And who better, I thought, to speak to about that than you today here on the show. Now, of course, the Marlins they're going to lose 100 games this season. They have 99 right now. There's still 12 games left. They're going to lose still some more. So this is coming to a surprise to some people for sure, and it seems like a really divided crowd on this, Brad, where at least on my Twitter feed, half the people think that he shouldn't have been renewed, and then the other half of the people think that he should. So, man, you play for this guy. So you tell me, what would you have done if you were Marlins CEO Derek Jeter in this spot?
So at this point, you have to look at the development of players, because when you're in the middle of a rebuild, you can't go by wins and losses to me, because he literally is going out there with a hand tied behind his back. There are prospects that you hope that you want to see growth out of them. What is Lewis Brinson doing? What are some of these pitchers doing? Are they getting better? Are they learning the game and showing improvement throughout the year? And I think there's at least reason to think that has happened with some guys, maybe not all of them. And I'm not going to pin that all on Mattingly. At the same time, I think it's fair, at a minimum, fair to him to get a shot as these players develop to see, will there be progress? Next year, there's no question. Next year, there's got to be more wins. You can't lose 100 games next year and be in the same situation. But if they start to show progress and say they win 15 more games next year than they did this year, even 10 more games, there is progress then, and you're seeing these players develop and you still have them cheap. They're all really young. There is still an opportunity there, and they're trying to change a culture there. And Mattingly is a guy who came from a great playing career. He had success managing in LA. He understands what it takes to win, the mentality that comes with that, and also the mentality of just surviving 162 games. Because a lot of guys, when they come out of the minor leagues and they're young, they have no idea how hard that grind is to last all season and to stay on the field all season and to be able to be at your best still when August and September come around. And that's something that you need experience somewhere. That's, when you have a rebuilding team, you do not want to go with an up-and-coming manager prospect that you don't really know what you're going to get. You need somebody there to teach these guys how to win, how to play the game for 6 whole months. And I think Mattingly has, at least at a minimum, earned a chance with the way some of these guys had developed to have at least another year or two of let's see if this team will actually start to win games now.
Yeah, the point that I made yesterday, so I'd like you to touch on this, and I agree with everything that you're saying, but here would be the reason why I take issue with it a little bit, is that if what you're saying is true, and indeed they're giving him an opportunity to be with the team in a better situation, which hypothetically let's call 2020 as a better situation, not a great one, but a better one. What happens, Brad, if midway through the season it's painfully evident that the team has not made any improvements, and then I believe that you could be forced into a situation to do something that you could have done a few months before? Am I overstating this? Is this just something where Mattingly's a pro, he's been around forever, and if that's what happens, that's what happens? Or will I be right in 6 months or 8 months when they do this, and then all of a sudden there's all this fire? How could you possibly fire Don Mattingly after giving him an extension? That's my concern here. That's what I was trying to allude to.
Sure, and in the grand scheme of extensions, this is a 2-year extension. Like, it's not a you know, like a 4 or 5 year long term deal. Like, they're basically just saying, we're going to give you a couple more years to watch these players develop. And I agree. Like, we could get to next season if they have 50 losses at the All-Star break. You got to cut ties at that point, or at least I could see that being a step in the right direction for this franchise. So, you know, we'll see. You're right. It's very possible. They also might be looking at the landscape of managers available and being like, you know what, there isn't anybody else out there that we would rather have working this right now. He's got a good relationship with some of these players. We've seen progress. Let's give him a little bit more of a chance, because we don't want to bring somebody else in and take these developing players that are not, you know, sure, not going to make steps with another manager.
Yeah. All right, Brad, thanks for being on the show as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Greg.
Data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text YOUTH to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text YOUTH to 321321. That's YOUTH to 321321.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text YOUTH to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text YOUTH to 321321. That's YOUTH to 321321.
Are you single? Everyone single is looking for the best date possible. Well, I found one website that can find you the best date, and it's called thebestdate100.com. Just go there and log in for your free trial and see if you can find your new and maybe last best date. Remember, you can find the best date of your life at thebestdate100.com. That's thebestdate100.com. One more time, thebestdate100.com.
Full-time fantasy.
I like feeling. I don't love feeling. Maybe I'm wrong for saying that. I don't know. If I had a draft tomorrow, I don't think I know I wouldn't take him in round two for sure. Round three, maybe I take him at the end of round three, but he was going at the beginning of round three, but I don't even know if I feel good about that either.
I didn't take Thielen or Diggs, and it's not like I didn't like him. It's just like, well, look at where they're going. Like,
I don't know. It felt like a little high.
Weekdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Network and on your popular podcast providers. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish back with you here. We got Jamie Eisenberg coming up in hour number two. Thanks again to Brad Ziegler for being on with us in hour number one. Of course, you can dial up the show at any time. The number is 844-843-6879. Got a little updated news here where it looks like Devin Singletary of the Buffalo Bills is not going to play this week. Of course, my producer, Sean Guastamacchi, is a big Buffalo Bills fan. So hopefully, Sean, for you, they can make it through without him in this game. It's Cincinnati, so yeah. I mean, you would think that there's, you know, a possible chance of that.
On to Cincinnati. Now, Frank Gore. I got faith in Frank Gore.
I mean, I've been saying all year long they're going to play him no matter what, right? So
yeah, and he's one of the names on the trust or bust list. So I don't want to.
You put that good for good. You're putting that together. That's
We got it.
I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so we'll do that also coming up at 1 o'clock Eastern. Now, tell us a little bit about your show today. What do you got coming on your show today, Sean?
Well, as every Friday, we do the player props for NFL weekend, so week number 3, NFL player props. I'll do that. Preview the big week in college football, week 4 with Pete Futek. He joins me every Friday for college football news. And then a little bit about baseball, too. There's a lot going on. Don Mattingly, I listened to your take and kind of agree with both of you. I could go both ways. I mean, I like Mattingly personally. He's my favorite player of all time. Growing up, that's why I'm a Yankee fan, because of Mattingly.
I mean, I grew up, too.
Yeah, it's hard to separate that.
Imagine, Sean, I'm covering this guy every
day.
I know. Standing in front of him, and I feel like I'm, you know, the only one even – you know, kind of taking this side of it. It's not the side that I want to be. It's not the side that I want to be on. But I gotta call it fairly. You know, that's what I do.
He's not Tony La Russa, right? I mean, like, Mattingly's not like the all time greatest manager of all time.
Oh, exactly.
Oh. So that's working in your favor when you make your argument that he hasn't proven enough, even though the team was depleted, like you guys mentioned with rebuilding the team, right? So making a change now, it was probably better than going into the next season and making a change. So I get your point there. But I mean,
that's my only point. Yeah. That's my only point. Yeah. I I'm coming under a lot of fire here. And that's, you know, look, this is being out there and making public comments. So I don't mind. It's perfectly fine. But again, you know, to me, either the message is being sent right now where I live here in South Florida that it's okay to lose 105 games, which is certainly in the cards for next year if there are no changes that are going to be made to the talent level on the Miami Marlins. And if indeed that is the case and they are just committed to keeping their manager here, Don Mattingly, all of next year, then I'll just shut up and close the door. And that's it. I'm done. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, if that's your plan. But I would hate to see in May, if Miami is 5-30, Sean, them say, well, it didn't work out. We're going to fire Don Mattingly. Because then I will yell and say, you could have done this in the offseason. What was the point? You know, you had the door right there. It was open for you. But instead, you brought the guy back, and now you're going to embarrass him. But my guess is that because Don Mattingly's been around for so long and he doesn't give two bleeps, he probably also understands, Sean, that could be a possibility
now,
going into next year.
Now, do you think there's anything to the point where Derek Jeter and Mattingly have a great relationship, right? They played together with the Yankees in 1995. Mattingly's last year and Jeter's first year. And, you know the relationship there. Do you think there's anything with Jeter saying, all right, you know, because it's so close, I didn't give you a fair shake. I don't want to take any criticism from, I guess, the Yankee kind of fan base or what have you, or the Major League Baseball fan base, because if you look at the team that Mattingly took over, they were at least competitive the first 2 years, and then they traded everyone away. So how could you really – that's not giving him a fair shake there in Miami.
Well, first of all, there's a couple of things. That's a big box to open there, okay? There's a couple of things. First of all, I would say that, Sean, with all of that talent, they never won anything, okay? They never won anything with all those guys that they, you know, Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, D. Gordon, Marcell Ozuna, and then until Jose Fernandez passed away, Jose Fernandez. Okay, and he missed a year.
Yeah, I was
going to
bring him
also
up. Yep.
Right, but Sean, they won nothing. all of those years. Never made the postseason, okay? Never close. But, well, actually, I take it back. 1 year, they were chasing it toward the end. But
I mean, Yelich became a different player when he left. But that's
he did. But so would you say at that point, wow, great job from Don Mattingly in those years? Like, I would not.
Not
I would
great say job. That. Yeah. No, not great job. But he did a good job. I would say good.
Why? They never won anything. Nothing.
Yeah, but Yelich, people think of Yelich as the MVP that he is now, but he wasn't that when he was on the Marlins. So I
understand that, but Giancarlo Stanton was the MVP with the
yes,
Marlins.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Marcelo
they won 78
Zuna
games.
Was,
they were trash.
Justin Bour. But again, 78 games every year was getting you nowhere, and that's what needed to change, which is why I think the Marlins did the right thing, and they did go in this direction. And again, if Don Mattingly's name was Mon Dattingly, and we didn't know who he was, just some random dude, he would have been fired at the end of this year. That, he would have been done. They would have brought in a new manager. And the respect factor has to be there. I think that's a huge part of this. And I'm okay with all of this. My only fear is you're taking this down a road where you do have a chance to be embarrassed in the middle of next year. And I also wonder why before the year you could say that, you know, there's going to be accountability and, you know, everyone's accountable for things. And then you lose so many games. And I'm wondering what the changes are going to be. But we're going to find out. There's a press conference today at 3 o'clock. So as soon as I'm done with the show, I'll head down there and then I'll have the full report for you. Next week here on the show.
I'm sure you'll be accepted there at that press conference with open arms, you know?
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. I'm fortunate to be in a situation covering sports where I've never been censored. And I've never had anybody tell me, like, you got to stop saying what you're saying. But I don't say somebody sucks. I don't say somebody's terrible. Like, I don't do that because I know that I have access to being in front of these guys. But what I also take very seriously, Sean, is especially with the Marlins and covering them, and I say this a lot on my podcast on Swings and Misses, is that I will be very critical, and I will say when players are good, I'll say when players are struggling. But the one thing that everybody in that organization knows about me is that I am accountable for what I say. And why? Because I don't do that from my couch. I stand right in the middle of that clubhouse when it's open and say, come get me. If you have a problem with anything that I say, you know, come at me. You know, let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. And you know what? I was taken to task only one time all season long. And me and the player had it out. And it was the end of the story. And everything was good. He still hates me. But everything was good, at least at that time. So that was it. And I take that seriously. If I am and this does not apply to all radio talk show hosts, because there's a lot of hosts, including our talk show hosts, like yourself. Like you can say, for example, that and I could say that James Winston sucks, right? We could say that on the air. Right. We could say that on this show. But do we ever have to put our face in front of
James
Winston?
Winston? Right. Exactly.
Right. And would we say that, Sean, if we did? Like,
that's
ask yourself
question.
That question
exactly.
Here for a minute. Like,
yeah.
Now, I have to face all these guys in Major League Baseball. I have to face them all, almost all. And a lot of them know who I am. So it does take a lot more stones to do what I do.
100%, yeah.
As course. Opposed to some other people. And the easy take is what everybody is saying right now about Don Mattingly, which is great job, good to have him back, Donnie Baseball. That's the easy way to go. I'm taking the path of more resistance because it's how I feel. And I can also tell you this. There are people that I know that are saying all the right things and being positive, and I can guarantee you that I'll see them today and they'll say, yeah, well, I don't know what they're doing. I guarantee it.
Oh, 100%.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, they have to keep their access, right? You know,
I guess so, but I wouldn't think that somebody would lose access for having an opinion. But being here with Sports Grid and being with David and Mike and Lou, like, I have no fear whatsoever that if something was to happen, they would call them and they would defend me to the end. Like, there would be no, Craig can do whatever he wants. That's my guess. You know, provided that I don't do something stupid, like, you know, spill coffee on somebody's head. Like, that's a different story. Right. Then I could get a credential revoked for doing something like that. But in general, for having an opinion, no. And I think that's the separation that people often forget. The other thing that's interesting, Sean, living here in South Florida, where I live, when a topic like this comes up, and I want you to think about this, for all of the people who comment on social media and Twitter, right?
Yeah.
How many of them are actually buying tickets to Marlins games?
Very few.
So I respect the passion, and it is great to have opinions, but we're hearing from a lot of people who have no interest in actually going to a game, but they have a lot of interest in just smacking me down. That's it.
Yeah, you're definitely taking the harder stance here, but I will say this. I'm not taking that. I can see your point. I said it in the beginning. Your point, and I can see what Brad Ziegler was saying as well. Like, give Manley a chance with an improved roster and see what he can do with it, you know? I'm not taking that stance because I think it's the easier way out, but I think Manley deserves a fair chance there.
Yeah.
See what he can do.
And you know what? I'm totally fine with that. I never would advocate him being gone. I am worried for a very awkward situation that could present itself next year. But I'm guessing that these guys are a lot smarter than me and have already worked through that possible scenario. Maybe, and I'm sure that Donnie has probably thought, hey, look, you know, there's a chance that I'm walking into a disaster next year.
Hey, how about this point?
Yeah.
How about Mattingly is grooming the next manager next season, and they don't want to put that next manager in this position with a roster that's still improving but won't win more than, 70 games next year, 75 games, and they want to put that next manager in a position to succeed. So how about that argument that they know Mattingly's not there long term, they just want him to weather the storm for one more season?
It very well could be. I don't know who that is, and we'll find that out. Your theory right there, we can save it. We could circle it. We could write it down. We could take a picture of it. And we may find out in 2 months that you're 100% right. But if they don't make any changes, Sean, in the offseason and they bring all the coaching staff back, then I would tell you that answer is incorrect.
The reason it leads me to that, Craig, not to cut you off, but Mattingly was making $2.8 million, right? Is that correct? A year?
Yeah, well, he'll have to take a pay cut.
Big pay cut, no? And why would Mattingly agree to that?
I would think so.
Yeah, right.
That's where my reporting has to come in, and I haven't been able to dig that out. I'll get that. I'll get all that information. I don't have it yet, but at some point I will. But yeah, Brad seems to think that there's no way that he would take much less than what he's making now, because it would be a little bit of a slap in the face. Perhaps that is true. I don't know, but I don't have that answer right now, so I can't speak to that. But I would almost guarantee that the Marlins put themselves in a position financially where they're probably thinking about it and saying to themselves, if we do have to make a change, how much money are we going to end up eating on this? And my guess is it's a lot less than what it would have been. But look, you know, we'll see. I'll try and find that out over the next couple days. All right. Coming up next, we're going to have our best of the first hour of the show. Then we got Jamie Eisenberg coming up in hour number two. We'll do some fantasy football trust or bust. And coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern, our friends Dr. Roto and Adam Ronis on Full-Time Fantasy will have all the in and out from who's on the field today. Of course, today's a very big day for practice. Make no mistake about it. The Friday practice in and out, who's on the field and not, pretty much determines if you're going to be on the field on Sunday. So they'll have that full report. And then, as always, you can catch all of our programming over on Sports Grid, including the Fantasy BFFs, Sean Show at the Betting Window, I think they changed the name to, at the Betting Window, 4 o'clock Eastern. And all of our programming you can see exclusively on Zumo TV. Just download that app and catch it. It's a really cool way to watch all of our work here at Sports Grid. All right. Timeout on deck. Best of first hour. Hour number two straight ahead. Craig Mish, Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time.
especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course.
What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In mist-build optimized lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
The morning after.
Baker Mayfield gets the start treatment from the refs, and you know what it is? It's primetime TV. Baker Mayfield's on TV all the time. If Baker Mayfield gets hurt, the Browns don't have a quarterback to throw the ball to Odell Beckham and Landry, and the show is over. So let's protect them right now. Even though they haven't accomplished anything, Baker Mayfield still has one win against a team with a winning record in his career.
Exactly.
He's going to be on primetime TV five times this year. That's ridiculous.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on Sumo TV, channel 719. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. Brad, for the rest of the season, has there been a player or two or three or maybe even more that you've changed projections for significantly the rest of the season? Because perhaps that would give people a good indication as to how you're feeling about someone the rest of the season.
Yeah, sure. So, I think the way the season has gone so far, you have to put Dalvin Cook higher than what everybody had him. Like, I've got him as my number two running back the rest of the way behind Saquon. And the volume is there. He's been explosive. He's shown he's been healthy. He's been able to maintain that role. They have, you can't trust Stephon Diggs at this point. He's completely touchdown dependent through 2 weeks. I wasn't very high on him to begin with. He's always hurt. I think my preseason ranking on him had him as wide receiver 18, which is a lot lower than a lot of other people had him. But at the same time, like I don't even want him as a wide receiver 3 at this point, because if he didn't catch a touchdown, he's, you know, the last couple weeks he's completely useless in fantasy, and he's not going to catch a touchdown every game this year. So the volume's just not there. The explosiveness isn't there in that offense. Another guy that I really thought had a good chance in Houston to be a used a lot more as a running back than he was in Cleveland was Duke Johnson. And it's shocking to me that Carlos Hyde has kind of taken the RB1 role in there, and that Duke Johnson is basically the pass-catching back. But even then, he wasn't even being used as a pass-catching back last week. And granted, they played Jacksonville. We've seen so far Jacksonville's defense is good. And it'll be interesting to see what adjustments they make, because they're about to play the Chargers, who week one got ran all over by Marlon Mack. And number two, you know, week two, then you know, held the fort down a little better. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments the Texans make, because that's an explosive offense that went and put up 13 points last week. And it'll you know, be interesting to see, you know, how they do. Another one that I am a lot lower on than I was earlier is Sony Michel. And I had him as my RB12 preseason. And the biggest thing to me, it's, you know, the efficiency has not been there for sure. But, it, you know, that can change, you know, game to game. But he's not being used at all in the passing game, at all. And that to me is a huge, like, if you have an RB1, he has to be used in the passing game to have those extra yards, have the, you know, the half point PPR, the PPR points that you get. He's getting none of those right now. It's all going to James White, Rex Burkhead, and Michelle's not being used in that role. And at that point, there's no chance he's an RB1. It doesn't matter if he starts getting touchdowns or starts being a little more efficient. He cannot be an RB1 without being used in the passing game.
And we'll be right back with more Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two, if you're listening live or if you're listening on demand. This is FNTSY Radio, Craig Mish.